thank you both. Even under the most trying circumstances, they're beautiful, aren't they? So many people go through life wanting this thing or wanting that thing or wanting some other thing, and they never get them. They inevitably end up throwing up their hands and saying, well, I really didn't expect to get that anyway. To want something is many times only a superficial desire. Men may stop by a Ferrari dealer and say, man, I want that car. But if questioned closely, the response may be that it would be really nice to have that Ferrari, but I don't believe I could ever afford to own one. Couples may look at travel magazines and posters and brochures and say that they would like to go here or they would like to go there, but that is just as far as it goes. Their minds do not ever conceive how taking such a trip could ever be possible. Their expectations of acquiring something like this is limited. The human mind says, let's be practical, let's be realistic. This so-called realism is just human opinion. It is the accumulation of limited thought. In Proverbs it is written, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. This statement totally explains why man is demonstrating what he is in the world. The very sum total of our beliefs is our consciousness. We are what we are, and we have what we have, and we do what we do according to our awareness of life. Our physical bodies, our relationships at home, our business affairs, every single thing in our lives is the embodiment of our beliefs. The health and friends and loves and sorrows we attract or reject are the expressions of our beliefs about them. Like attracts like. We cannot complain, nor can we grumble about life, because we are expressing exactly what we are in consciousness. Since life responds according to our beliefs, we are constantly creating our world through our opinions and through our attitudes. There is a psychology textbook in attitudinal development which contains a very interesting story. It seems that there was a young man who did very poorly in school. His grades were abominable. He never did seem to quite understand what was going on in the classroom. His teachers never expected much from him, and he did never disappoint them. He believed that he was just not as smart as the other students. And one day this young man was given an intelligence test. His answer sheet was sent off to wherever computerized answer sheets go to be graded. And unbeknownst to anyone, the computer malfunctioned, and the young man came back with a perfect test score. News of this perfect test score immediately spread among the teachers and his fellow classmates, and an interesting thing happened. Immediately, the young man's grades began to improve. He accepted as his true capacity the ability to do better work. Several years ago, a professor conducted an experiment in his class. There was a young woman in his class who was extremely quiet, and she was exceptionally shy. She was somewhat homely to look at, and she didn't dress very well at all. Her total appearance was dowdy and unattractive. And of course, she had no friends. And without her knowing it, the professor met with the rest of the class, and he suggested that they begin paying some attention to her. He suggested that they begin inviting her to parties and to other social gatherings. The professor's little project began by having some of the girls begin by talking to her. Eventually, some of the young men began sitting next to her and having conversations with her. She was invited to some parties and to some social events, and within several weeks, a gradual change in her emerged. She became more open. Her habits of dress began to change. Her contributions in the class increased. Like the young man I spoke of earlier, she also accepted a different identity for herself. We always decide what is true for us. No one else does that. We are the ones that direct our thoughts. Our thoughts mold our beliefs, and our beliefs mold our world. Be mindful of your thoughts. They are powerful, but you are in control of them. We are reminded in the scriptures, who is greater, he that sits at the table or he that serves? Our thoughts serve us. The servant is not greater than his Lord. The creative principle in each and every one of us serves and works for us. It responds to us automatically. This is its nature. There is no outside entity. There is no outside God that does anything for us, nor anything to us. There is nothing to manipulate. All of life is an outpicturing of our beliefs. The Christ Jesus demonstrated this principle. He was not an exception. He was our example. He was our way shower. He said, "What I can do, ye can do also, and even greater things." He came to teach us that we are totally equipped to handle everything that comes into our lives. Emmett Fox told a story many years ago when movies first arrived in a remote mining camp in the Rocky Mountains. And you probably heard this story before, but it bears repeating. A movie was announced and a tent was set up. The early cowboys and the miners who had never seen a movie, so they had absolutely no idea what to expect. And during a dramatic moment in the film, the villain began choking the heroine. And an old cowboy sitting in the front row immediately stood up and began firing his pistol at the villain. Any attempt to change the outer manifestation does not do anything. Our thoughts and our beliefs are the film in the projector. As Emmett Fox said, if you don't like the picture that you are projecting in your life, change the reel. Jesus the Christ at no time bothered to change the appearance. He gave no thought to the condition. He did not bring down a law from anywhere, and nor did he create miracles. The things and the circumstances in our lives are the solidifications of the beliefs that we have in our minds. What we hold in mind as a belief will outpicture in our world. You can see it happening every single day if you listen to the news. For sure, we can change the appearance by moving to a new house, acquiring a new mate, or by changing the place where we work. But the experience will repeat itself through a new form, through a different name, or through a new location. We are all familiar with the saying, wherever you go, there you are. We take our consciousness with us wherever we go. Jesus told us, leave all and follow me. To leave all means to leave behind the limited and the false beliefs that we all hold so dear. It is to leave behind a power and a life that is separate and apart from God. As we unfold into the recognition of the omnipotent creative principle of life, we will know that what we establish in our consciousness is also established on earth. We live in a completed kingdom. We live in the midst of all of the things that we desire. Our good comes to us the moment that we recognize it. And this is why Jesus the Christ said, "When he pray, believe that you receive, and it shall be done. Whatever the mind can conceive, the mind will bring forth." We are creative beings. We are constantly building and rebuilding the world in which we live. Our mind is the movie projector. It is projecting onto the screen of our lives what we have individually decided to put there. We are the ones that handle the camera, which is our thoughts. Whatever is expressing in our lives as body or conditions are only effects. These are the images on the screens of our life. All correction takes place in mind. Remember, we have been given dominion. Dominion has been with us from the beginning. Dominion has never left us, and it never will leave us. Dominion lies in our ability to decide what our mind will focus on. That's it. It's not complicated. It's that simple. There is not a volume of rules. There are not a volume of regulations that we have to follow. There are no mysteries to solve in life. Life is simple. Love and peace and harmony are all around us. We are surrounded by the very things that we desire. We are supplied and sustained by the very thing that we are searching for. We are the individual laws of our lives. The entire responsibility of each of our lives belongs to us alone. A young woman had an interesting experience recently. She was asked to leave her apartment because it was being converted into a condominium. She lived on a very strict budget. She had a one-bedroom apartment, and without a thought, she began inquiring about efficiencies rather than a larger one-bedroom. One questioned why, she answered, "This is my budget. The way apartments are renting these days, there is no way that I can afford a new one-bedroom apartment." If only we would not react to the human senses. If only we would become still and know that it does not matter what human opinion is saying to us. "Prove me now, saith the Lord." Through right thinking, all of our needs are met. Through discipline of right thought, we know that our good awaits our recognition. You know, it costs us absolutely nothing to prove the Lord. As a matter of fact, you might find it an interesting and fun experiment. We can go about life saying, "Well, how about that? Or isn't that nice, the way that turned out?" This is what life is all about. We become beholders. We become bystanders, seeing the law fulfill itself. We do not do the work. We do not manipulate anything or anybody. It is the creative principle within each of us that does the work. We set into motion the power of mind. The young lady I mentioned earlier was working from expectations, a strong belief. When we stop running, when we stop looking outside of ourselves for answers, our good will come. The creative principle is forever awaiting our command. The Master Jesus referred to it as the Father within who doeth the works. He rejected totally any personal powers. he identified himself with the law of total good. In this consciousness, he said, I can of mine own self do nothing. When we abide in this awareness, the Bible tells us that you can ask whatever you will, and it will be done unto you. Jesus the man expressed the Christhood when he accepted the divine nature of man. He was the fully developed Son of God. He lived his divinity. He expressed outwardly in his life the divine nature of all of mankind. The Christ in him is the Christ which is in every single one of us, the perfect indwelling pattern of our true self. You are a child of God, I am a child of God, and all of mankind are the children of God. We are all pure, we are all perfect, we are all whole, and we are all complete. As we recognize our divinity, we will demonstrate our perfection. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. To condemn life for our unhappiness is like shooting at the movie screen. To inflict punishment on ourselves for our shortcomings is like shooting at the projector. It is only when we change the film in our projector that we will enjoy a fuller life. The kingdom of God, of love, of peace, and harmony is within each and every one of us. There is nothing wrong in our world, only our thoughts. And we have been given dominion over these thoughts. Remember, greater is that that is within you than he that is in the world. Since within each of us is the source of all things, within us is our doctor, our lawyer, and our banker. Within each of us is our health, our happiness, and our personal fulfillment. It is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom, and he is giving it to us every single minute of every single day. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. As within, so without. So let us take this lesson with us in consciousness as we go throughout the week. And at this moment, let us become still. Let us quiet our mind. Will you please join me now in our closing meditation? So take a moment to get comfortable in your seat and rest your feet flat on the floor. Place your hands in a comfortable position, either in your lap or at your side, and just relax for a moment. Take a deep breath in and let it out slowly, very slowly, as we release all our cares and concern, letting go of everything that is outside this holy church. Let us be still and clear our minds of our worrisome thoughts, our things to do, our things to go, where to go, what to eat, the laundry that needs to be done. Let go of anger and resentment and jealousy. Establish peace within yourself and go deep within to the center of your being, where our Father waits, welcomes you with open arms and his unconditional love. Let us meditate on the thought that the presence of God fills my mind, my body, and my soul. He is saying, I am in the midst of you. I have ways you know not of. Before you call, I will answer. I go before you, making every crooked place straight and every rough place smooth. I will heal you I will strengthen you. I will provide for your every need. I am with you always. I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Look to me for your good. All that I have is yours. For the awareness of this truth, O most gracious and loving Father, I give you thanks. Amen. The Lord blesses you and keeps you. He causes his light to shine upon you. He is gracious unto you. He lifts your consciousness and he gives you his infinite blessings. Amen.
Years old.
Very, 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 very